worship today. I just wanted to go ahead and give a quick shout out to those of you who are attempting to read the Bible in a year. Yes. Say it out. I'm doing that. I'm trying. I try because Pastor Chris has challenged us a few years in a row now, and I'm trying, but every year I get to this point. And if you're doing it, what books of the Bible are you in? Numbers. I get to this point every year, and y'all, Numbers is Numbers. It's got a lot of numbers. And so I'm really trying hard. I don't want to give up. So I'm praying that God would just show me something, a revelation, even in this book of Numbers. And so I'm going to share this with you, okay? So don't fall asleep before I get to the point. On the east toward the sunrise. This is how the camps of Israel are set around the tabernacle. That's where we are here. And this is how they will start traveling through the wilderness. On the east toward the sunrise, the divisions of the camp of Judah are to encamp under their standard. And it lists a lot of names. And then it says, his division numbers are 74,600. Okay. Tribe of Issachar will camp next to them. His division's numbers will be 54,400. Do you see why this gets tedious? The tribe of Zebulun will be next. His division numbers are 57,400. And all the men assigned to this camp of Judah, according to their divisions, number 186,400. And this is where it is. This is where God's like, hey, pay attention, wake up. He says, they, the camp of Judah, will set out first. Camp of Judah, the camp of Judah, the line where Jesus comes from. The name Judah actually means praised. It means praised. So there is a purpose in all these numbers, y'all. We are starting out when we travel in the wilderness. We start with praise. And that's what we're doing today. We are starting our service out with praise. We're starting our week out with praise. So let that be the thing that you start your week out with. God, you are worthy to be praised. Are you ready? Let's do that.
I search the world. Oh,
Merely overcoming a struggle, situation, or circumstance doesn't give us purpose, peace, or abundant life. While God wants us to be free from the pain and destruction of sin, He wants even more for us. God wants us to choose intimate relationship with Him because He wants us to have peace, joy, and love in our lives. He wants us to enjoy meaningful relationships. He wants us to live with divine kingdom purpose. He wants us to know Him and to walk with Him so that we can all experience His presence, His goodness, and His will for our lives. C.S. Lewis says, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from Himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. Jesus opened the door to an intimate relationship with God. This relationship makes abundant life available to us all. John 10:10 in the Message translation says, Jesus says in that, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. God, let us just acknowledge You this morning in Your presence here with us. And I just pray that we choose relationship and choose abundant life through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Decision that we can make than to serve Jesus. But that next step in that spiritual journey is now making an outward profession publicly to our body of believers, right? And saying, hey, I choose to follow Jesus. So it's with my greatest honor that I get to welcome Hannah Blaha down. Her dad's getting to stand here proud, right? He's not going to turn around all teary yet. Right? Yeah, it's not too cold. Right? Hannah, do you take Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You recognize Him?
Yes.
Yeah. I am so excited for you on this, and it's my privilege to get to baptize you. You want to put your hand? All right, you ready? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Congratulations.
If this is your first time visiting with us in person or online, welcome. We're so glad you decided to worship with us today. At New Covenant, we invite all people in the communities where we live to know, hear, and respond to Jesus Christ. You can learn more about NCC and become part of our church family or join a volunteer team by going through our Connect class online or by attending one of our in-person upcoming classes. If you would like to bless what God is doing through the ministries at NCC with your tithes and offerings, you can use the offering boxes or give online at newcovenantlampasas.com. If you have any questions about what's going on at NCC or want more information on how to get connected, please stop by the hub desk after the service. Again, we are so glad you're here with us this morning. Now let's open and prepare our hearts for the Word.
Well, good morning. And we are proud of Hannah. We're excited about that. Well, welcome to summer. Next week will be winter. After that comes spring. But anyway, we're so glad. It is nice to have beautiful days. Thank you for being here this morning. Let me give you one quick announcement. Your favorite time of year comes next Sunday. Daylight savings time. Spring forward. 1 hour next Saturday night, and you'll come here with smiles on, I know. We are so glad that one day we'll get to vote on that, right? Yeah. We're in a series called Responsibility. Responsibility, the ability to respond. Responsibilities to have that capacity for moral decisions and therefore being accountable. God created us response-able. You're absolutely free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. The most amazing thing to me, the most amazing truth that has been brought down, I believe, through Scripture, is that God has self-limited His ultimate, unlimited, sovereign activity to correspond with the choices that man might make to depend on Him in a personal faith-love relationship. Though God has all power and is absolutely sovereign to do anything according to His own good pleasure, He will not violate or interfere with the freedom of choice that He's granted to mankind and to you. Now, while that is such a great blessing, it also is a great danger, because the choice is ours. The choice is yours. Today, I want to talk to you about your responsibility, your ability to respond in choosing to follow Jesus. It's going to be a little bit different, but hang on. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, find it on your Bible app on your phone. We're going to get there in just a moment. There's going to be some other scriptures that we're going to cover first, but that's where we're going to kind of hang out, Luke chapter 9, in just a moment. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Verse 18, they immediately left their nets and followed Him. I know you've heard these verses. It's in Matthew, it's in Luke, it's in Mark. But do you notice anything missing from this verse? A man you've never seen before shows up while you're coming to shore after fishing, and he calls out for you to come to him and follow him, promising to make you become fishers of men. Would you have immediately left your family business and followed this man? And another thing, they asked no questions. I don't know about you, but I would have had a few questions. Like, where are you going? What's in it for me? What will it cost? How long will it take? And for us young people, who else is going? And what will people think? Wouldn't you have had a few questions? Did they know what they were getting into? Not at all. What I'm trying to say here is, for you to follow Jesus, it was no easier for them to follow Jesus than it is for us. Don't over-spiritualize it. They were called to a commitment. They were called to a journey. They were called to an adventure. But more than an adventure, they were called to follow a person who they didn't know at that point, but they would come to know. Well, what does it mean to follow? The Greek word used most often to mean follow is akolotheo. It means to follow one who proceeds, to accompany, to assist, to be a part of. When Jesus was calling people to follow Him, He wasn't just asking us to tag along. He literally was inviting people to vitally be engaged with Him in both learning and living. Mark 3, verse 13 through 15, it says, "And Jesus went up on the mountain, and He called to Him those He Himself wanted, and they came to Him." And this is the verse I want you to see. "Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him, and that He might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons." Here's the essence of what Jesus is after when He's inviting us to follow Him: that you might be with Him. This is His training program. This is His training program for success in life, for the salvation of the world, for victory over Satan. That you might be with Him. You see, Jesus had no formal school, no seminary, no outline study. Amazing as it may seem to us, all Jesus did to teach these men His way was to draw them close enough to be with Him. He was his own school. He was his own curriculum. You see, life change was gained by association before it was understood by explanation. He was the lesson. He was the life. When Thomas, you know, in John chapter 14, Thomas, Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going away," and you all know the way. And Thomas, he spoke up and he says, "Jesus, how can we know the way? How can we know the way?" And Jesus answered him in verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And boy, we're so like Thomas. We're wanting to know how when he's wanting us to know him. Being a follower of Christ meant the surrender of one's whole life to Jesus in absolute submission to him and his way of life, because he was the way. He was the truth. He was the life. It wasn't a teaching about truth. It was, he was. "I am," Jesus says. Much of Christianity today, in churches all over the world today, we know little of what it means to really follow Jesus when it comes to a way of living. You see, we've been taught to accept Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to believe in him as a sacrifice for sin, as a way to heaven when we die. We don't necessarily trust him to show us the best way to live. In other words, we tend to follow a doctrine, a teaching about a sacrifice, not a person who is himself the way, the truth, and the life. If you're going to follow, you must trust and submit to him. Because listen, folk, Jeff read it just a while ago. There's no other happiness in this world but him. There's none. You've got to understand, he is the one who's right. He is the best. He knows best. He's the real one. He's the true one. And whether you understand it or not, his way is best. It's easy to talk about this, and we, you know, I guarantee you, I don't know how many times I've just told God, "God, I'm going to follow you wherever. I'm going to tell you, God, I'm in it for the long haul. God, I want to be with you. I want everything you've got." It's so easy to have good intentions. And I've discovered something throughout my life. I can tell God what I'm going to do, and I'm fully committed to it until his way crosses mine. How many times has God said, "Do this," and you said, "Not yet. Not me." So I want us to look. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. And I want to start with verse 57. "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" Doesn't that sound like a commitment? "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go." Matthew tells us that this man was a scribe, a teacher of the law of Moses. And he knew what he meant when he said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." You see, if you were an accepted follower of a rabbi, that meant that you would leave your home, you would leave your job, whatever, and you would follow the rabbi, literally wherever he went. Wherever was not just a word used to express a commitment, it was a way of life. If the rabbi went to the market, you went to the market. If he went to another town, you went to another town. If he went to a synagogue, you went to the synagogue. When the rabbi ate, I almost said rabbit. When the rabbi slept, you better sleep. When the rabbi ate, they ate. But look at Luke chapter 9, verse 58. "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" That's a strange word to a commitment. I get the idea. Jesus turns around to this man and with a bit of a smile says, "You do know I'm homeless, don't you?" That's what he's saying. "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I have no way where to lay my head." In other words, he was messing with this guy's comfort zone. This guy was a teacher of the Jews. He was a student of the law of Moses. And it's much easier to talk about following Jesus when you make general statements without any specific commitments. Jesus was talking to a guy that had probably been watching him work miracles and heard his teaching and all of these things. And this guy says, you know, I want in on this. I want in on this. So I'll follow you wherever you're going. I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus knows his motive. His motive was, I want to be in on it. This seems exciting. This seems like, you know, this would give me a measure, a foot up. What he didn't know was, he didn't have the things that this man was looking for. You see, probably this man had money. He had a house. He had commitments. He was a teacher of the Jews. He liked Jesus' teaching and he wanted to be in on it. Perhaps he wanted to get in on it to a top level until Jesus said, I'm homeless. And here's what the guy ultimately is saying. Jesus, I'll follow you wherever, but not there. You know, and this verse really convicted me because I find that I often treat Jesus more like a consultant than the master of life. As you see, a consultant is someone whose wisdom I value and I listen to. But at the end of the day, I make the final decision according to what seems good to me. The trouble is, listen to me, Jesus doesn't do consulting. He does God. He does Lord. He does Master. The wisest one who's ever come. He doesn't do consulting. He does lordship. The whole trouble is that so many times we say, Lord, I'll do it until it messes with us. Jesus wants followers who will choose him and say, yes, Lord, even before they know what the command will be. Choosing to follow Jesus sometimes confronts the places we find comfortable and predictable. You know, I don't think this guy ever understood that Jesus was going to a cross. He just saw the excitement of the day. So easy to get caught up in the emotions and the excitements of what's going on when God is moving. But remember, he is Lord. Let's look at verse 59. 59 says, then he said to another, did you ever think about Jesus calling people to follow him and they didn't follow? You see, I sometimes read the Bible like everything's successful. That when Jesus said something, just everybody jumped. Well, in verse 59, you see, Jesus says to another, follow me. Same words. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus used the very same words he used with the 12, follow me. It makes you wonder if there were others that Jesus invited to walk with him but chose not to. This guy says, let me first go and bury my father. Wait, I left out a word. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. He refers to Jesus as master, which indicates he knows what Jesus was asking of him. But the next words out of his mouth was, let me first. He wants to follow, but first let him bury his father. Now that seems reasonable. He wants to have a funeral for his father. Look at verse 60. And Jesus says to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Well, how can the dead bury the dead? Unless he's talking spiritually dead. What was really going on here? I read a lot of different commentaries, different ideas, but one of the guys caught me. It says this guy's dad wasn't even near death and burial. Not only still living, but he was probably even in good health. It was a manner of speech that meant that this guy wanted to do the honorable thing for his family and be under his father until he died. And after his father had died and was buried, that he would follow Jesus. He was saying, Jesus, I will follow you, but not now. It's not that he wasn't willing to, it's just not good timing. He is a isn't saying no. He's just saying, not yet. Not right now. Well, why did Jesus respond so hard? I can tell you, I've said these things before. When somebody would say something like that to me, I'd say, okay, I understand. You'll know when the time's right. Or, I don't want to put any pressure on you. Take your time. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You come. You preach the kingdom. I like the way the message puts this verse. Your business is life, not death. Your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. Announce the God's kingdom. Isn't it amazing what we're going to do one of these days? Or someday? Or even tomorrow? I'm going to get up early in the morning and spend time with Jesus. It's funny, but the only language of the Holy Spirit is today. Now. The minute the Holy Spirit says, now is the day. Now is the time. Today is the day. And you've got to understand that when Jesus invites you to follow Him, He's not saying, hey, make up your mind. He's saying, choose it. You have the ability to respond. Verse 61, you want to find another one? And another one also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Hear that word again? First. He wanted to say goodbye to his family. Seems reasonable. Jesus doesn't want him to even say goodbye to mom and dad. You know, Scripture says honor your father and mother. Jesus' response seems to indicate that this guy may have been in his company for some time, but was looking back at what he had left. He wanted to go back and say his goodbyes. Being translated, I'm homesick. I miss what I used to know. I'm having regrets. You see, when things get tough, expectations are not panning out. The risk seems to outweigh the results, and it just seemed easier before. Now it's getting tough. And I'm having second thoughts. Let me go back home and settle it once and for all. Look at verse 62. But Jesus said to him, no one, say that with me, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus used a farming illustration that I'm familiar with. I can tell you from experience, you can't plow a straight row looking back. You've got to set your focus on where you're headed, who you're following, the King and His kingdom. Now, in all of these, there's three words that occur over and over and over, three times at least. Look at them. Lord, me first. Lord, me first. Lord, I will, but me first. Me first. You see, it's all about motive. The great enemy of following Jesus is Lord, me first. Following Jesus seems to be just asking too much of us. All I want to do is go to heaven when I die. And we tend to look, when we get this, the enemy reminds us of the cost of it. Look what it's going to cost you. Look what's going to happen. Look what it's going to take for you to follow Jesus. And I was asking the Lord for an illustration, and God reminded me of my relationship with my wife. Connie and I will soon be married 51 years. And do you realize what it cost me to marry Connie? It cost me everything. I had to give up all the other girls. There wasn't that many. And I had to choose to live with her for the rest of my life. Look what it was going to cost me. Are you kidding me? I've looked in the mirror. This was a deal of a lifetime. Well, you had to give up all those other girls. I got news for you. No other girls compared to her. It wasn't a sacrifice. It was an opportunity. But you see, I would have never known what it was until I had committed to it and followed through with it. I had to say, I will. You've got to understand, I didn't give up my freedom, my life. I found it. I found a union that made me complete, fully satisfied me, and transformed me for the better. Was there a cost? Absolutely, yes. When I married Connie, I began to actually live with her. Before, we'd just been dating. I would take her out at least once a week. I enjoyed her company, and I began to dream about what it might be for us to be doing life together. Then one day, I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. Miracles happen. And then before a preacher, we both said, I will. And we began to live together, really live together. Now, it was great. And it was life-altering. I was living with and I was accompanying another. I was no longer alone. I was no longer all about me. Now it was about her and us. I discovered, it didn't take long, and she might argue with me, I discovered how selfish I was. And how I had a way of life that often wasn't conducive, even complimentary, to a loving relationship. And I had to learn to deny myself in some areas, but also open myself up and be vulnerable in others. I had to learn another way of life. I had to learn another way of life, married life. I had to learn the truth about myself and what married life was really like. And I've been learning it ever since. Folks, listen to me. The emphasis was not on what I had to give up. It's what I got. I got Connie. Cost? What cost? I call it a privilege. I call it fulfillment. From that relationship, I got two daughters. Now two more families. And 11 grandkids. And now a great-grandson. It's not about the cost. It's about the opportunity to do life with Jesus. I want the altar team to come. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus in your heart and life this morning, to ask you some questions. Are you just dating Jesus? Are you all in? Are you just following a teaching? Are you connected to the teacher? You see, it's not just about what you're giving up. It's not just about keeping commands. It's about responding to the one that loves you, who gave himself for you, that he might give himself to you. He's always giving himself to his followers. His peace, his joy, the keys to his kingdom, his own glory. He gave all he had. Nothing was withheld, not even his own life. He didn't give you an obligation. He gave you an impartation of his love and life. It's not about conforming us to some standard of behavior or goodness, but it's about transforming us into the people just like Him who are good and right and true. Kingdom people. People who know the way. People who know the truth. And people who know the life. And I make you a promise. If you respond to Jesus, to following to Jesus, He will give you the ability. He's not asking you to do something for Him. He's asking you to do something with Him. If you respond to Jesus, He will come in and make His abode with you, and He will live His life and living through you as you choose Him daily. You're no longer dating. You're in a brand new life of fullness and abundance. Choose you this day who you'll serve, who you'll love, who you'll walk with. I choose Jesus. Stand together with me. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that You would pour out Your presence upon us. Holy Spirit, I'm trusting You to invite us. Invite us to respond to Jesus Christ. Invite us to walk with Him, talk with Him, be with Him, and Him be in and through us. Lord, we respond. You give the ability. We trust You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have altar team ministers here available. If you have any decision, you want to make a declaration, listen, don't let it be flippant. It's time you say, I do, I will, to Jesus. And as they sing, we invite you to respond. Question about following. Do you realize you have it better than those disciples had it in Luke 9? They had Jesus with them. You have Jesus in you. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is even more real to you than he was to those who walked with the disciples, when he walked with the disciples. You have the biblical account of who Jesus is, what he said, what he's promised, what he did. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus and then choose to follow him. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We choose you. Lord, we respond to you. We trust you for the ability to follow you wherever, whatever, whenever, because you're worth it. And you will make us to become everything you've purposed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Ministry teams are still available. If you need prayer, avail yourself to them. May God bless you this week.